Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is the gospel lesson that was read earlier, the account of Jesus visiting the disciples the night of the resurrection. Ramsay MacDonald was Prime Minister of England, and he was having a discussion with another official and really discussing the possibility of a lasting peace. Now, the other official was an expert in foreign affairs and was unimpressed with the Prime Minister, thinking he was rather idealistic in the idea of a lasting peace. And he remarked cynically, "The desire for peace does not necessarily bring about peace." MacDonald admitted, saying, "That's quite true, but neither does the desire for food satisfy your hunger, but at least it gets you started toward the restaurant." There is a desire for peace in our world, right? We want peace, but how many people that want peace don't know where it is found or how it begins even? Well, that's the picture that we have with the disciples, right? That first Easter evening, where are they? They're locked in fear, that they're in need of peace, and they don't know where to go or where to find it. But we're reminded today that true peace is found in the Lord, and he's the one that comes to us to bring it. And that's precisely what he does. And so we're going to go back over the first few verses of this first visit and look at how he brings peace to the disciples, and he brings peace to you and to me. So again, going back to the text. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. It's Easter evening, and where are the disciples? They're afraid. Even though they've heard that the tomb was empty, Peter and John themselves have gone and found the tomb was empty, but they're still scared. They're still looking for peace. They didn't know where to find it. They didn't know where Jesus was. And what happens? Jesus comes to them and stands in their midst. But isn't this what Jesus rose to do? He rose so that he could be with his people, and that's what he does. He comes to be with his followers because he knows their need. He knows their fears, he knows their struggle, and he knows their need for peace. And so he comes to meet them in their need. Isn't that one of the things we need to learn about the resurrection? We celebrated it so wonderfully last week that Jesus is alive. And today we're reminded of what the result of that is. That Jesus is alive so that he could come to his people and come to them and bring to them that which they need. And isn't that why we're here today? Are we not here because we know Christ has promised to be with us? Because the same need that the disciples have, isn't that our need? The disciples were frozen with fear. Have you ever been afraid? Or really, they were frozen with fear and anxiety and worry. How many of us worry or are anxious? How many of us are struggling to figure out where we can find peace? We're frozen by sin because sin is the source of this awe. We are in need. Doesn't your Lord know your need? Hasn't the Lord given you a promise that as you gather around his word, he will be present with you? And isn't that why we gather today? Because we know that the Lord rose so they could be with his people. He knows your need. He knows my need. And he is here to supply it. And that's what we see as we continue with the text. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. It seems kind of strange at the end. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Well, why wouldn't they be? Doesn't sound like they were real glad at the start. Why? Jesus appears to them, but why wouldn't they be glad? Is it quite possible because they didn't know why Jesus was there? Again, think about what had happened over the last few days. When Jesus was in his darkest need, where were they? Scattered, denying him. They left him. They departed from him. They let him down. And so why was Christ there? They weren't sure at first. Not only were they afraid of the Jews, but don't you think they were also afraid of the Lord? And that's why the first thing Jesus does is say, "Peace be with you." And understand, when he says that peace is theirs, he's telling them that they are forgiven. And notice the connection here. He says, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his hands. Then he shows them his side. He wants to show to them that he is really the Lord. That he's really alive. But he has also really died. This all fit together. Because if he's going to announce peace, if he's going to announce forgiveness, it's going to be tied to what has just taken place during Holy Week. It's tied to his death on the cross that paid the price for their sins, their denial, their scattering, and all those things. And showing them that he is alive in the flesh, not just a ghost, but was present, that he could indeed bring them forgiveness. And notice that this is real forgiveness. It's not just that he's overlooking sin. That's so often what our world thinks of forgiveness. Well, that just looks over sin. No, what Jesus demonstrates is that he takes sin seriously. He's dealt with it. He just didn't overlook it. We see that later in the following week when Thomas is there. Notice how he handles Thomas. He reprimands him for not believing the word of the disciples. Because in not believing the word of the disciples, he was now also not believing the promise that the Lord had given him that he would rise. Jesus acknowledges the reality of sin, but he deals with it. He pays the price for it. That's what his death was about. You see, in dealing with something, it's done with. It's not going to come back up again. If we just overlook something, it's going to come back up again and again and again. And that's why the worldly way of dealing with sin is so wrong, because it comes up again and again and again. We bring it up over and over again. But that's not the way our Lord deals with sin. Our Lord truly deals with sin, and because he does so, there is peace. And that's what the Lord has for you. He knows that you need peace into you today. He announces it today that you are forgiven. He has dealt with your sin, the sin that brings anxiety, the sin that brings worry, the sin that brings doubt, or anything else has been taken care of. It's been dealt with once and for all on the cross. The price has been paid for forever. It will not be brought up again. How many times in our earthly relationships do we think we've moved past something and only to have it bring it up again and again and again? Not so with our Lord. Your sin is dealt with. It's done with. It's never to be brought up again. That's why when our Lord comes back, he offers you eternity. You can know today that your sins have been forgiven. They've been washed away. They are dealt with forever. But we go back to the text. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold the forgiveness of anyone, it is withheld." Isn't it interesting? Having forgiven the disciples, he now has a mission for them. They have a role in salvation. At the beginning of this, they're huddled in fear, wondering what their future holds. Now, with the risen Lord before them, they have a mission once again. They are being sent. And isn't it striking that the sending of the disciples is tied to the sending of Jesus himself? He speaks about the way the Father has sent him. And what did the Father send Jesus to do? To earn salvation, to bring it about. And now, because salvation has been established through his death and resurrection, now he is sending the disciples out to bring that salvation to the world. Not just to talk about it, not just to say that it's here, but actually to bring that salvation, to bring that forgiveness. He tells them if they forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. And if they are withheld, it is withheld. They're actually bringing forgiveness. They're actually bringing salvation to the world. And notice this is tied to the fact that they have been forgiven. It's not insignificant that before he says this, he repeats that peace be with you. He has said again, you are forgiven, you are restored. Now I'm sending you. Now you bring that forgiveness out. You know, this isn't the first time our Lord has said to the disciples that they are to bring forgiveness. In Matthew 18, Jesus has said to them, "Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he spoke about that in the context of the church. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he would provide whatever they asked. So in the context of that context, he's talking about forgiveness. They were being sent to bring forgiveness, and they were equipped to do so. Notice our Lord also says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That having been forgiven, having received the Holy Spirit, they now are bringing forgiveness to the world. You know the true joy for us? is that extends to us too. Because that which Jesus was doing for the disciples that day, he has done for the church also today. He is sending the church out to bring this word of forgiveness. This is what we are to do following the resurrection, is it not? To bring this forgiveness to the world. Have you not received the Holy Spirit? That's your baptism. In your baptism, you were given the Holy Spirit. As we have gathered around the word, isn't that the Holy Spirit present being poured out on you again? Isn't the Lord sending you forward? Having forgiven, are you not able to bring this forgiveness to others? We're equipped to do that as being part of the church. We can bring forgiveness to people. And what a wonderful gift this is. Do you have any friends who are struggling? Do you have any friends who are overwhelmed with the world, with the weight of the world, with sin, with guilt, with shame, with anxiety, with worry? God has given you a wonderful opportunity to bring this word to them, to tell them what the Lord has done for them, to share with them the forgiveness that you have received. You know the joy of that forgiveness. You know the peace that it brings. Isn't it a wonderful privilege to be able to share that with others, with those around you who are also struggling, to let them know that the Lord has overcome their sin and the sin of this world? What a wonderful privilege we have, because as we bring this forgiveness to the world, we bring peace to the world, a peace that the world knows nothing about and could never understand. What a joy and privilege we have knowing the forgiveness and peace that is ours from a resurrected Lord and being able to share that peace with the world. Again, when we think about the peace that our God offers, it is indeed a gift of God, a gift that is established because of Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave and has been given to us. That peace he offers to you and to me and to the world is a lasting peace. A peace based on the forgiveness of sins, a peace that is eternal, a peace now and a peace forever, knowing that we are loved, forgiven, and belonging to the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.